together. Sing it together, make him welcome tonight. In Jesus, can you raise your hands to him tonight? We press on. In Jesus' name, we press on. Dear Lord, with the bride there before our eyes, we find the strength to press on.
Amen. Aren't you thankful for that strength tonight? We've got several prayer requests we'll take at this time. Pray for Rosa Manning. She's a friend of ours, fell, broke her leg, had to have surgery, cannot put any weight on it for 6 weeks, and that's turned in by the Baileys. So let's remember that. Sister Rachel Estep has turned in a prayer request for Sister Brenda Harmon. She's been unable to get any sleep, causing her to sign herself into the Woodridge Hospital to get some help physically, mentally, really needs prayer. So let's remember that situation. Also, a prayer request for the Archer family. It's actually Carrington Daly's grandmother. It's Charlie Archer's mother has passed away. So let's remember that family. Also, many needs for a sister, Ruth Nickforth's. I'm not sure exactly where that sister's from, but sent several needs for the church to pray about. Sister Linda Kennedy is asking for traveling mercy for Tammy Sutherland, who's going to Kansas, so pray for that. Please pray for my niece, Stacy Stockton Dalton. She's in the hospital with a colostomy, and it's leaking, but the worst problem, she has a blood clot in her lung, so they're asking for prayer for her. And also for my unborn great-granddaughter, the doctors have asked for the mother to come in Wednesday to discuss the baby's anatomy. Thanks in advance. That's from Brother Terry Stockton. So very serious needs there. Brother Kutz has a prayer request for us tonight, Brother Amos. Also, Brother, I think Brother Dale turns us in, Jordan Hayton, homesick tonight. Brother Dan Dyer has fell today, injured his hip. Said he's just really miserable, can't sit, stand, be in one position any length of time. Very aggravating. So let's remember Brother Dan. Also, I think that's it for the prayer request. We can stand. But Keith Phillips, do you mind to come and pray over these needs tonight? Thank you, buddy.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much to be gathered here in your house, to be gathered with people of like precious faith. Lord, knowing that just soon and very soon we're going to be gathered together with all the saints of all the ages, and how we're looking forward to that great homecoming, Lord. But Lord, here we are gathered here at this time, and Father, we're coming, bringing our petitions before you, thanking you because you already made a way for those to be taken care of, Father. Many needs, so many needs, Lord. But Father, you knew before the foundation of the world that we would be asking at this time. So we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, through faith in your name, that these things will be done. Father, the rest of the service, the gospel is the word plus power. So bring your word and power and demonstration to change our lives, to make us like you. a fax copy, one just like you, Father. And we'll commit this service into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Keith. You can be seated tonight. Well, the church is going higher than it's been before. Rejoicing over Zion, we'll sing forevermore. We'll renew old acquaint that golden shore. And the church is going higher than it's been before. The church is going higher than it's been before. Rejoicing over Zion, we'll sing forevermore. We'll renew old acquaint that golden shore. And the church is going higher than it's been before. God's children have been battered, scorned on every hand. The world sees the church, says the ships are going down. But I have got good news that the world just can't ignore. Victory's already mine. I'm going higher than before. The church is going higher than it's been before. Rejoicing over Zion, we'll sing forevermore. We'll renew old acquaintance on that golden shore. And the church is going higher than it's been. Sing that verse.
God's children have been battered, torn on every hand. The world sees this bride and says the ships are going down. But I've got some news that this world just can't ignore. Victory's already mine. I'm going higher than before.
The church is going higher than it's been before.
Rejoicing over Zion, we'll sing forevermore. We'll renew old acquaintance on that golden shore.
And the church is going higher than it's been before. Amen. I plan on going with it. If the brothers would like to come and lift the offering tonight. We'd like to welcome a brother and sister Griggs to our assembly this weekend from Panama City, Florida. Where might you be this weekend? All right, God bless y'all. Welcome to the service. Give them a hand. Appreciate y'all being here with us. Also, anyone that's interested in attending the men's meeting at Brother Barry's church, I'm not sure the date on this. We're getting close to the deadline, I do believe, so with registration. So Brother Jimmy said just check in the library, anybody that's interested in going, and he'll direct you to the websites to get registered. Let's sing G in key G, When I Think About the Lord. Help me sing this tonight. Let's sing this from our hearts.
When I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how He picked me up and turned me around, how He placed my feet on solid ground, makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all of our praise. When I think about the Lord,
how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, and how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about You, Lord, how You picked me up and turned me around, how You placed my feet on solid ground, it makes me wanna shout, hallelujah, thank You, Jesus. Is He worthy tonight? Solid ground, makes me wanna shout.
Amen. I want to know how it feels. Gee, I want to know how it feels. We ain't got any specials tonight, so we'll sing this together. I want to know how it feels. Actually, one of the little kids had requested that. And I'm not sure. Is Ellie Parker here tonight? Ellie's not here? Nope. We'll sing it anyhow. Maybe she's streaming. Well, I want to know how it feels to make my way down the streets of gold. I want to know how it have a talk with the saints of old. I want to know what it's like to rest my feet by the river of life. I've heard of heaven and I know that it's real. I want to know how it feels. My mama and daddy talked about going home since I was just a babe on their knees. They said that nothing compared to what was waiting up there, how one day we would finally be free. Well, I've never seen it, but I keep on believing it'll be a place like I've never known. I keep my eyes on the sky, soul wants to fly. Lord, my heart is ready to go. I want to know how it feels to make my way down the streets of gold. I want to know how it feels to have a talk with the saints of old. I want to know what it's like to rest my feet by the river of life. I've heard of heaven and I know that it's real. I want to know how it feels.
Sometimes I get weary from this life that I'm living. Seems peace is something I'll never find. I try to lighten my load when all that I've got to show is 700 things on my mind. Oh, but I'm seeing visions of a crystal clear river where sin's forgotten without a trace. More than I've ever dreamed, my eyes long to see. Look to love on my Savior's face. I want to know how it feels to make my way down the streets of gold. I want to know how it feels to have a talk with the saints of old. I want to know what it's like. Rest my feet by the river of life. I've heard of heaven and I know that it's real. I want to know.
Positive confession now. I'm going to know.
I'm going to know how it feels to make my way down the streets of gold. I'm going to know how it feels. Have a talk with the saints of old. I'm gonna know what it's like to rest my feet by the river of life. I've heard of heaven and I know that it's real. I'm gonna know how it feels.
Stand your feet one more time. Sing. I'm gonna know.
I'm gonna know how it feels. Way down the streets of gold. I'm gonna know how it feels to have a talk with the saints of old. I'm gonna know what it's like to rest my feet by the river of life. I've heard heaven and I know that it's real.
Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead and give him a hand. He's worthy of it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Aren't you glad we can know that too?
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's turn tonight to the book of Isaiah, if you would. Isaiah chapter 14. I want to speak again tonight on the gallery of worship. Every mortal on the face of the earth today that is of an appropriate age to be able to know right from wrong, every one of those mortals are worshiping somewhere. And they're worshiping something or somebody. So it's not just the bride, the elect, that are actually worshiping and with the king in a gallery. Many, many people today are in another gallery with another king. But it's not King Jesus. It's the God of this age. And they are worshiping him. Many, of course, worship themselves. Self-worship. And whenever we worship ourselves, we are actually of the Antichrist. You see, every one of us are born with this in us to worship ourselves. And the only thing that will ever get it out is the new birth. And even when it's taken out from the soul, the body and the spirit will still tend to lean toward self-worship. Let's look tonight and see where it comes from, shall we? Isaiah chapter 14, verse 11. Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Now, for whatever reason, Isaiah is allowed to go back whenever sin actually began in the heart of Satan. Moses wasn't allowed by God to be able to write this, nor were any of the rest of the prophets quite phrase it this way. But Isaiah catches it whenever sin actually begins. If you can understand it correctly, verse 13, this is when sin actually starts, right here. Now, once you notice, he's not standing here with a cigarette. He's not standing there with whiskey or alcohol. He's not looking at pornography. He's not doing any of that. But this is where sin originates, and originates with I will. Pride, self-efficient, don't need God. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Verse 17. Notice now, that made the worlds a wilderness, destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners. All the kings of the nations, even all of them lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit as a carcass trodden under feet. Now this is what God says about him. He makes his brags and his boast, but we know his end. He will be destroyed. We could say amen and have a shouting fit right now and go home and say, it's been good to be to church. But there's more for us to talk about, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We have been allowed to gather once again in the house of God, into the august courts of your presence. We count it a great honor, Lord, that we could be called your people, the people to whom the presence of God is made manifest. We know we're not worshiping, Lord Jesus, as the church ages are. Father, we're not worshiping as many of the charismatics and the different denominational people, but we are worshiping under the seventh seal. Lord, we are worshiping under, hallelujah, a divine revelation that our names have been called from that open book. How grateful we are, Lord. For I remember many years ago in my life when I worshiped, I ran, I shouted, I talked in tongues, I did all of that. But I was not worshiping under the same auspices that I am tonight. So I'm thankful and grateful, Lord, that you've opened my own heart and understanding. It doesn't make me proud or arrogant or, Lord, anything within myself, because I know it's the grace of God to all of us. We pray you'd speak to us tonight from your word, Father. You see this prayer cloth that I have in my hand, Lord, and I'm asking you, dear God, you see the need. As I preach with it tonight, I pray, Father, you'd be mindful. Anoint our ears to be able to hear things which have been wondered about, Lord, down through the ages, but have been made known to the sons of men in the last days. Grant it, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Man is made to worship, absolutely made in his being, to require something to adore, something to love, something to be able to sacrificially give a part of his being to that thing that he will give to nothing else. Satan is actually the originator, the ultimate example, or the implementer of the character which is known by the modern term that we used last week of narcissism. It is a love for yourself that is out of the ordinary. It is, the definition is this, inordinate fascination with oneself, excessive self-love, vanity, a consuming self-absorption or self-love, a type of egotism. Now, Satan will do nothing except it exalts or benefits him and his kingdom. He is not the type of being to do anything for anyone else. He loves nobody. He cares for nobody. He considers nobody else's feelings. He does not understand the essence of eternal life to be able to live for others. So he only does that which benefits himself and his kingdom. He will tread on whoever is necessary in order to accomplish what he desires to accomplish. Antichrist in the last days will be the human expression of Satan, as Jesus was the human expression of the invisible God. So the Antichrist, which was foreshadowed in the image of Daniel and also the king of Tyre in the book of Ezekiel, the beast power will be represented in that whenever Satan is coming upon the earth. And we know when the tribulation will begin to move, apparently before the bride goes, the head demon will move inside whichever pope that it's supposed to be. And then it will be in preparation stage for Satan to be able to come down himself once the bride goes up. And the Antichrist will be the reflection of everything that Satan has been in spirit form. And we know that what the book of Daniel tells us in chapter 8, also in verses in chapter 10, also in chapter 11. We know it was foreshadowed in the Old Testament by different kings that would come upon the earth. And Satan would be allowed a certain preeminence in certain kings' lives. And by doing that in those lives, it was actually a reflection of the future kingdom, which would be in the beast power on the earth. And somehow God allowed him to understand the coming of the Lord Jesus, to know that the messianic visitation on the earth would be the influence of the invisible God. So Satan desired to take certain kings and kingdoms on the earth by which he would be able to reflect a portion of himself and do the same thing. So the Antichrist will be the human expression, because the Antichrist will actually be a person on the earth whom the main chief demon will step in, begin to move into the position of headship, and then whenever the bride goes up, Satan comes down, the head demon will go out, Satan will step into this pope, which will be the incarnate devil, but it will be the human expression of what Satan is, as Jesus was the human expression of God. So the ultimate of the kingdom of Satan will reach the ultimate of the kingdom of God, and that is that the king of both kingdoms will become personified in a human being on the earth. Now, Satan is the first and the original one, then, that began to feel this strange and peculiar self-love for him, his being. Now, Satan, of course, in the beginning was not the devil. He was not Satan as we know him today. But his original God-given name was Lightbringer, or Lucifer, or Son of the Morning, which is Day Star. So this was his original name, and his name identified his original position. To call him the devil then would have not been fitting. To call him Satan then, it would have not been fitting. To call him Beelzebub, to call him the names which he later attained after the fall, would not have been fitting where it was in the beginning. So God named him according to his character and according to the God-given, God-created beauty that was given to him in the original creation. Sin is not a creation. Sin is a perversion. Now, Lucifer, the light bringer, was of the highest order of the angels of God, which was the cherubims. Now, you know that God created angels in degrees. There are cherubims and seraphims and zoons and regular angels, and there's all types of different degrees of angels, and cherubim actually is the plural of cherub. So Satan was given the highest original position of the one who would stop the approach to the throne of God. So he was given extraordinary position with an extraordinary name, with an extraordinary beauty. Now, God never created sin in Lucifer that one day it would kick in a certain time. Totally impossible for God to do that, because God cannot create sin, as we know. But yet, Satan, then something began to arrive at him, and the word narcissist or narcissism, whichever one that you want to use, either the noun or the verb, it actually comes from the Greek word, and it's actually from Greek mythology, of one of their Greek gods, which one day was going by a pool of water, and as he looked over into the pool of water, he saw himself. He saw his own reflection, and when he did, he was so beautiful, he was so overwhelming, that he could do nothing hardly the rest of his life, so-called, because he was so taken up by his own ability. So then this word has been used, narcissist, narcissism, narcissistical, whichever one you want to use, has been used now for many hundreds of years to describe a person whose ego is so very strong, and a person who has such self-love for themselves, and they actually can worship themselves. Now, don't get in your mind now that they will bow down to themselves and pray to themselves, but they will adore themselves above measure, above that which is normal, for especially for a child of God to look at themselves. Now, let's look, if you would, in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Now, this vision that Ezekiel is now seeing is not Satan himself alone, but it is the blending together of Satan and the actual king of Tyre, which this was a natural king and a natural kingdom on a natural throne. But Satan, during the reign of this man, had been able to personify attributes about himself that he did not do in Nebuchadnezzar Dan, and different ones of the kings that had lived down through time. But through this particular man and his kingdom, and the way this man dealt with the people around him and the other kings that were around him, Satan was able to reflect an element of his attributes that he had not been yet able to do. And once he was able to do that, God was able to take the prophet Ezekiel, project him into the realm of the fourth dimension, and bring this type out of this king, and actually indict Lucifer himself as he was influencing this king in his reign. You understand what I'm saying? So here God saw what Satan was doing in this normal king on the earth, which is a prefigure, of course, of the beast in the last days. Now once he says, turn, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Now, to this king aggregates the very attributes of Satan himself. And here in the king, they've been able to achieve great accomplishments, great beauty by his throne, by his kingdom. And God was able to keep the very depiction of the picture of Antichrist that would be revealed in the last days. So he so identifies the spirit of Satan in this kingdom. Now notice the words that he says. Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Now look at these words. Thou art a pattern of perfection in thine own conceit, for a seal hath in it the perfect form of him that is thereby represented. Now listen at these words that God actually says about Lucifer in the king of Tyrus, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom. Now then literally in the Hebrew, sealest up the sum means thou art the sealing one, the sum of perfection. A thing is sealed when completed.
Now, in Lucifer, when God had created him as being the highest of the angels, God actually put upon him the seal, and the seal was a completed work of beauty that there could be no other angelic being that would be created higher. If you can understand it, Lucifer was actually the crowning of God's creation of the angels. So God creates in degrees and creates in degrees, coming higher, higher, higher. And then whenever he makes this one being, he actually seals him up as the very pattern, or an angel would never go higher than what this angel was. So he actually identifies him as being the seal. So we know, of course, that a seal is a completed work. And the word sum implies full measure of beauty, from the Hebrew root to measure. Now notice this, thou art the finished pattern. Thou sealest up. Now this has been translated in this word so we can understand it. Thou drawest thine own likeness, or thou formest a portrait of thyself. The first selfie guy. Now I want you to think about this, children. I like to have a fit the other night whenever I found this. I thought, Lord, have mercy. Now look at how the words take this and describe as sin begins in this being, and he begins to look at himself, and let me read to you again, thou sealest up, thou art the finished pattern, and what has been translated, thou drawest thine own likeness. So he's actually, as we'd be able to relate to it, that he draws a picture of himself. He is so overwhelmed with him. He is the pattern. Don't you see? When we get under the influence of trying to make everybody else line up to our thinking, don't you understand what we are doing? If you think they have to worship like you and shout like you and hallelujah like you, or they ain't got the Holy Ghost, do you see what you're doing? You are making yourself under the influence of the devil, not the Spirit of God. It is not the Holy Ghost that would ever incline us as the saints of Happy Valley to feel like our church is the example church for around the world. That's a bunch of nonsense. For us to feel like, my, if you don't go to Happy Valley and you don't stream our services, when you have that attitude, you're under the influence of the devil, not the influence of God. Come on, children. Why? Because then we are using ourselves. Don't you see what people do whenever they pick out this one particular preacher and they make an idol out of him and his preaching and his singing and his church, and then they want all the music and the message to be like that church. Don't you see the way Satan does? He'll try to come right among us and use the same thing that he found about himself and make it as the pattern. Then the Branham Tabernacle has to be the pattern, or Happy Valley has to be the pattern, or Bible Way has to be the pattern. That is not true. Right here's the pattern of the Word. And I'll tell you what, you travel in different parts of the world and you go to Mexico and you find they don't worship like they did at Branham Tabernacle. You'll find they don't worship like we do here. You go to Uganda, you go to Kenya, you go to Tanzania. I've been in a lot of these different places around the world, and God left them in the way that he made them and according to their culture. Come on, children. There is no one church in this message that is to be the example. Neither is there one certain preacher that everybody should follow. And I'm going to blast that thing and tell you it is Antichrist. It is not from the Scripture. So Satan turns around his iPhone. So here's where sin began. The first selfie. Praise God. Now notice him in verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Now the king of Tyrus was not in Eden. Right? Nebuchadnezzar was not in Eden. None of the kings of Moab were in Eden. But whoever this word is directed to was in Eden. Thou hast been in Eden. in the garden. Oh my, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. Now watch, Ezekiel is describing the beauty and the perfection of Lucifer before his fall. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. And may I say to you, these are 9 of the 12 of the birthstones on the breastplate of the high priest. And that these are also many of the building stones that will be in the city in the 8th day. So they were God's original adorning and the sign of perfection. The stones and the colors by which they reflect. And whenever light would have hit upon Satan, what is this speaking of? Was he made out of rocks? Of course not. It is his characteristics and his traits which were in him by the original creation. He must have been a dazzling being. He must have been an absolute overwhelming type of being. Angels are not stupid. Angels are not dumb. For them to succumb under the demise of such a being like this, he must have been an overwhelming person. Notice he says the workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. So God did not create Lucifer now as the prime minister of sin. He was not created as one that God had allowed this element of sin and one day it would kick in as a software and all of a sudden he would change from being Lucifer, a light bringer, day star, and then all of a sudden he'd become mean and evil and wicked. But actually, in his own pride, when he looked at himself, and from his own being originated sin. Lord have mercy. Oh, Jesus, help us, Lord. He was given an exalted place in Eden, the garden of God. So Eden, not only was he in Eden, but he was in the garden of Eden. Now, Eden was a state, and the garden of Eden was like the capital or a city inside that state. So Satan was able to roam inside Eden on the earth, also go into the garden of Eden. So Satan's beauty matched that of the original creation in the Garden of Eden. Now remember, the Garden of Eden was a portrayal also of the church of the living God. So Satan's beauty, his brilliance, his dazzling resemblance and all that he was, God is foreshadowing in the type that he will be so profound in his original creation that even after he falls, he will be a battle for the real church to overcome. But by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we will overcome it. So we're not dealing with a being that is not brilliant. We're not dealing with a being that does not understand and has stood in the very garden of God and stood in the very paradise of God and understands so much about God just by experience and knowledge. Now he don't have a revelation, we know, and he cannot be born again. But just standing before that great august being and seeing the great brightness of his reflection and his image and his character and his traits, Satan has learned a lot. And he makes quite an enemy. Oh yes, he does. So he was created perfect. He was created blameless. Oh my. But his pride led to his fall. Notice in verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub. The anointed. So God created him and God anointed him. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. The word covereth means to hedge, fence about, shut in, block, overshadow, screen, or stop the approach. So here he is, one of the elite members of the throne guards of God. So any of the other angels that would start to come toward him, Lucifer would stand there and stop their approach. Any come from to the right of the throne or to the left of the throne, in front of the throne or from wherever they would come, whatever degree of angel they were, they would have to come through Lucifer first. He was God's right-hand man to fellowship. You know, whenever he began to look around that day, he must have took note of all the gifts and all the abilities and all the position that he had. And he began to look down his nose, as we would say, at others that were beneath him. Oh my. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I, don't you never forget this, I have set thee so. The devil didn't make himself and he didn't give himself no position. God set him so. I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. And thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect. Look at this word. Complete, whole, entire, wholesome, unimpaired, innocent, having integrity. What is complete, entirely in accord with truth and fact. Now, you explain to me how a being that had all of these attributes could fall from such a place and be termed the father of lies. When in his original created being, his original created station and status, he was created in harmonious blend with what was truth. Whole, complete integrity. It wasn't like he was a half and a half sort of a guy. It wasn't that he was half devil and half Lucifer. You know, a sort of a guy, the in and out of church type of thing. He was created absolutely perfect. Created absolutely blameless. Absolutely whole, completed. My Lord, children. But he was not created and sealed into the economy of God to where he could not fall from it. Notice what a person can have and be able to fall away from it. Don't misunderstand me, but those of you tonight that are sitting here with a true baptism of the Holy Ghost in your soul, you have got more and you are more secure than he was right there in the garden of God. He might have outdazzled you. He might have outshined you. He might have done all that. But we're standing more secure tonight, Brother Joel, in Christ Jesus than Lucifer stood at the beginning before the throne of God. Hallelujah. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day. Pardon. I want to remind you, you do have a birthday. He was created on a certain day, which means he's not eternal. Oh, glory to God. That ought to make a Baptist want to shout a little bit. He had a day he started, and ultimately he will have a day he will end. Oh, happy day, happy day. Amen. Thou wast perfect from the day, notice in thy ways, from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Iniquity was found in thee. Now look at verse 16. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Thou hast sinned. So where did it start? It started in the Garden of Eden. They'd never done such thing. Sin began in heaven, in the heart of this being. Who was so caught up when he began to look around, and one day he realized, there's only one person greater than me. One being. If I can knock him out, I'll be king of all. And like the Greek mythology, come by a pool of water, as we would say, and he began to see his own image, and he thought, wow, how beautiful I am. What a great preacher I am. Wow, I'm such a gifted singer. I'm so wonderful. Thou hast sinned, therefore, I will cast thee as profane. Amen. Amen. mountain of God, which is Mount Zion, the church of the living God. Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you one thing. God's didn't cast him out of me. This prophecy's being fulfilled. Every time a son or daughter of God gets the Holy Ghost, it's going on and going on and going on until eventually it will be fulfilled naturally on the earth. He is being cast out of Mount Zion. Hallelujah! He's being cast out by the power of God. Notice in 2 Kings 19:31, for out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. Psalms 48:2, beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Again, Psalm 74:2, remember thy congregation, which thou hast purchased of old. The rod of thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed. This Mount Zion. He ain't talking about some mountain somewhere. He's talking about the church of the living God. Psalms 125:1, a song of degrees. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, or it abideth forever. Hallelujah. Notice God says, therefore will I cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee. Now let me ask you a question. What if God would have allowed one of these prophets in the Old Testament to write down your human name? And right here in this verse, God would have said, Wes Willis, I will destroy thee. Tim Mullins, Scott Arrowood, Janet Payne, Carol Reagan. If you even found anything in there halfway close, some of you would be so discouraged you wouldn't want to. And yet this being can find his name written right here. It's written all through the different pages of the Bible by shadows and types, and some of it just outright plain, and he still comes to church, and he still fights, and he still goes right against the army of God, even though he knows God will destroy him, and yet he acts like a winner. And God says about us, I loved you before the foundation of the world, and your name is engraved in the palm of my hand, and nobody can pull you away from me. You are hid in God, hallelujah, in Christ by the Holy Ghost, and we act like a bunch of defeated people that ain't got enough victory to even clap our hands and sing and worship God. What in the world's the matter with us? The devil acts like he's the sons, and we act like we're devils. Come on, children. I think it's time we start acting like who we're talking and who we say we are. Oh, my. I will destroy thee. I'm going to go ahead and do it before he dies. I'm going to preach his funeral right here tonight. I'm going to tell you, laying on these ashes is the biggest liar, the biggest two-faced hypocrite. Ain't nothing but a troublemaker. Ain't been nothing but havoc on the earth. He is deserving of hell. I hope he goes to hell. I know he'll wind up in hell. I'm going to preach his funeral. You going to preach it with me? I'm going to tell you one thing. He calls every blind baby to be born. He calls every cripple. He calls every deaf person. He calls every adultery. And the way I'm looking at it by the word of God, he deserves to absolutely be annihilated and destroyed. I will destroy thee. Perish. Vanish. Be exterminated. To blot out. Do away with. Na 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 na. Glory to God, saints, when you're shouting down the streets of gold for 10 million, 100 billion years, whatever it is. Oh, glory to God, when there will be no more devil, there will be no more sickness, and there you will be. All of your heartaches, all of your troubles, all of your tears. this, then all of your trials will seem as nothing. They will totally disappear as you are there in His great unfailing presence. And beneath us in that realm of the lost, Satan will be there who knows how many years. But eventually, Brother Jim, God will annihilate him. He will be vanquished. Don't you feel sorry for him and bring no funerals up here. There are no flowers at this funeral. I expect every one of you to drop hate cards up here by his casket. I hate you. I'm glad you're going to be destroyed. You've been my enemy ever since I got saved. You're going to hell. You're going to be destroyed. Come on, everybody. Let's send him. Let's not send him no condolence. Let's send him a get on out of here, devil. Get on out of here. We're longing for your funeral, big boy. Now, once again, if God said this about Donnie Reagan, I will destroy you. But if I'm a son of God, I can stand right here and preach from this same scripture tonight and read it. Because really, it did say that about me. I've done had my funeral. Don't you see, by nature, we were children of wrath. Whew. Therefore will I cast thee out as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. So you think all the sin that we know about, it all comes from this being who was so consumed with himself. And then you think God smiles upon that when you and I have that attitude? It's Antichrist, friends. It's satanic. Well, I may make you mad, but I'd rather have you mad at me walking down the streets of gold than you down there with him. Think of this. Thine heart was lifted up because I made you do it and I forced you to do it. Because of thy beauty. Some people would be better off if they could never carry a tune. They'd be better off if they could never sing a song. Some preachers would have been better off if they would have never been able to be gifted to preach. Because that gift will damn them. Because they'll look at themselves and they'll listen to themselves and they'll think how gifted they are above their brothers. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom. See, sin is not a creation, but it's a perversion from the original. So he actually looks at himself and he corrupts his wisdom by reason of his brightness. He was so dazzling. He was so brilliant that he looks at himself and it's like it corrupts his wisdom. Pride always does that. Whether you're a devil or an ignoramus like we are. Well, glory. I can preach an amen, but it's not easier if you folks do your part. Thy thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy, notice, not other people, not God's brightness. It was not God's brightness that put his eyes out, but it was his own brightness that blinded him. His own brilliance as he saw himself and he looked at himself and said, wow, look at me. I am so great. And once he looked at himself through his own brilliance, it's like it tainted his wisdom and his ability to look at things in reality form anymore. Satan is a true narcissist. You see, a true narcissist not only will worship themselves, but they must also be worshiped by others. They've got to be praised, adored, constantly. And if they're not going to hang around. That's why it's really hard for a true narcissist to ever retire. Now you're laughing, but it's the truth. It's hard for a pastor that's ever really a true narcissist. He almost has to die. He cannot exist thinking someone else can take the church and maybe lead it a little bit higher than he did. Same with a narcissist singer, a narcissist deacon, a narcissist trustee, a narcissist song leader, a narcissist you or you or you or you. Narcissists cannot stand to be outdone. Oh my. You see, the sin which now we see corrupted Lucifer from his original state and his original name was actually self-generated. Self-generated. Now, if he can somehow get that into the stream of humanity, to when every mortal that is born has the same thing in them to self-generate their own demise. By loving their self more than they love God. That's why eternal life is living for others. Satan can't do that. All these people out here tonight getting drunk and you know, shooting dope up in their veins and all this, that, and other. And they belong to the kingdom of the devil, of course, and they are worshiping themselves. And by worshiping themselves, they are worshiping the devil. Because you can't worship yourself and worship God in the same time. God will not allow it. God will have no other gods before him. And that includes you. Oh my. Was lifted up because of thy beauty. So his sin was pride of his excellence. So he was so great, the tabrets, which is music and cymbals and drums, and oh my, the every department that he touched was so blessed. Nobody could outsing him. Nobody could outplay him. Nobody could write songs like he could. He was the greatest. Oh, people just loved to touch him. He was so, they could just get around him and just touch him like something would come out of him.
Somehow that gets touched, all right.
So it was his pride in his beauty, his arrogance in his dazzling, glorious splendor, his great gifted abilities that God gave him, and somehow he began to look around and realize, look how great I am. I am so wonderful. Oh, love me. I'm magnificent. I have no counterpart. I'm wonderful. I'm adorable. I'm lovely. I'm beautiful. I'm excellent. I'm me.
Now some of you are laughing and some of you ain't very far from just what I just described. Because you judge everybody in the church but you. You judge the way they clap their hands. If they're real quiet, you call them a Methodist because you clap yours real loud. If they say, glory to God, Lord Jesus, I love you, thank you, Father, you judge them and say, well, they're a Methodist or Church of Christ or Nazarene because they don't scream, hallelujah!
like I do. You know what you're doing? The very same thing the devil done. You're using your own emotion, your own walk, and let that be the measuring board, friend. You are not the measuring tape. I am not the measuring tape. God's word is a measuring tape, and God made a variety. God loves people who are boisterous. God loves people who are real loud like Brother Charlie, and God loves people that's more reserved like Jim Babb. And if Jim Babb ever goes acting like Brother Charlie, I'll know something set in that ain't right. Either that, he's just getting a real good Charlie's a Torres spirit blessing on him or something or another, because that just ain't who Brother Jim is. Does God not want his tears and his worship and his quiet way of worship because he don't worship like me and Brother Charlie? Nonsense. But when we go to try to making others conform to us, it's that same old sin that started in heaven. Notice this, Brother Ram tells us this in the choosing of the bride. In the beginning, we find that Satan was so beautiful till he deceived angels. He was so beautiful. Now, if they were all on the same level of beauty and dazzling glory and brightness, he would have walked up and they could have looked at themselves and said, there's no difference. Well, they were just like you. We're all exactly the same. But when he would come up, this persona about him and this aura about his personality and the greatness of his characteristic traits which God gave him, whenever he would hold up, he was like he was spellbound. He would just hold these angels and they were mesmerized by his greatness. Everything and everybody that mesmerizes people ain't always an angel of God, though. Notice we find that Satan was so beautiful till he deceived angels. He was the most beautiful angel of them all. Now hang on. This also means he was more beautiful than Michael. It's tough on you, ain't it? He was more beautiful than Michael. So which would exceed in this day in worldly beauty? The church or the bride? Which would look the most appealing? The church or the bride? Which exceeds in worldly beauty, in worldly wisdom, in worldly polish? The bride is not known by worldly wisdom or worldly polish. She's known by character of the word. Oh my, notice he says Satan spoiled his wisdom. Oh my, listen to this now. He says he was the most beautiful angel of them all. It showed it lays in the devil. Proverbs said, Solomon said, beauty is in vain. That's right. Sin is beautiful. It is. It's attractive. So he looks at his own luster. Maybe there was an eminence about his personage that was, you know, in the brilliance of similarity to the pillar of fire. Or that great light, white, that great white light that proceeded from the throne of God. And as he would come up and one day look down at his hands, he begin to look in a pool of water as it were. And he sees himself. And compared to him, all the rest of the angels, even Michael, are so plain Jane. There's no aura about them. No brilliance, no dazzling about them. And then it dawned on him. I am the greatest. Look at me. Look at me. I am the greatest of God's created beings. Can I go on? Now God says, why? Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy. Notice all these are personal possessions of Lucifer from which sin originated from. Anything from the external coming into him could not have given proper birth to sin. So it must, why? Because there was nothing else like this in any of the rest of the angels. It could not come from God. It could not come from the elect angels. And we know there were angels according to the Bible that were elect angels. And there were some angels which are made which could fall. And there was some which was elect which could not fall. There is no redemption for angels. Hang on to your seat. The prophet of God said we were a part of those angels which never fell from the foundation of the world. We were identified. Our theophany bodies are there in the eternal, in the presence of God. Your angels always behold the face of your Father. You have an angel before them. So come on, children, don't sit and look at me funny. You have an angel before the presence of God. And when you come to the earth, there was something. When you took the breath of life, that representation of Almighty God went down inside of you, because no deposit, no return. But if you got a deposit of eternal life, you will return into the Shekinah where you came from. Because before there was a Lucifer, there was you. Before there was time, there was you. Before there was sickness, there was you in the mind of God. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. Look how God divides this verse prophetically by Ezekiel. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. Look at the diverted, the attributes that are here. So his beauty and his brightness, each one of those gifts affected another part of his being. So his heart was affected by his beauty, and he corrupted his wisdom. His wisdom was corrupted by the reason of his brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. Oh my. I will lay thee before kings. You think this is the king of Norway? And the king of Sweden? I'll tell you who it is. One of them anyway. King of Happy Valley. It ain't the mayor of Johnson City neither. I'm one of them. You are. You're kings and queens. Come on, children. Don't sit there and look at me funny. We are kings and priests unto our God. He will lay him before kings. The very people he's tormented, the very people he lied to, the very people he aggravated, God will make him bow at your feet. Oh, my. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries. You mean the devil had churches? Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic, excellent in commerce and trade and buying and selling and all. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee. I will bring thee. Listen, devil. We're fixing to close the casket on you. I will bring thee to ashes. Now the difference between the devil and a son or daughter of God is this. Sons and daughters of God go by the way of the grave. If time tarries long enough, they came from the dust of the earth. They go back to the dust of the earth. But because they are part of the circle of life, when the voice of the resurrection speak, they will gather together their ashes and come out of the dust of the earth. But when he goes to ashes, there is no resurrection for the devil. Woo! Hallelujah! We will be ashes maybe if we go by the way of the grave, but there is a body waiting for us. I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth and the sight of all them that behold thee. Now you ought to consider yourself pretty blessed tonight. You've been sitting right here and you've done got yourself several thousand year preview of the devil's funeral. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. If the Lord don't heal none of us again, if he don't never let us feel him again, we've got enough to shout about from now to the rapture. To know this is our enemy. This is not a good love letter from written by Walt Disney, Brother Jim, but this is the words of our Father. We can hang our soul on it. Verse 19, and all they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt not be a terror, or thou shalt be a terror rather. And the word terror there is someone that nobody else wants to be like. Well, I already said that about him already. Thou shalt be a terror. Buckle up now. And never shalt thou be any more. Come on, children. I just said the final words at the devil's funeral. Never shalt thou be anymore. We don't preach a resurrection for this old boy, but we say throw him in the casket and set the casket on fire and let's wave goodbye as his ashes are rolling out the bottom of the box. Why? Because our enemy will be annihilated. He will not be raised up because he does not have life. Hallelujah. Satan was cast out of God's government. Ezekiel brings us all together and makes it sound like it's one great event that happens in a matter of moments. But actually that prophetic verse spans over thousands of years of time. 7,000 years of human time. He was cast out of the government of God. Cast from the economy of God. Still allowed to go into heaven. But in the tribulation, he will be cast out of heaven and not allowed to come back up. Why? Mount Zion has arrived. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. The accuser cannot be there when Mount Zion arrives before the throne. Glory be to God. This shows that Paul and Peter and James and all the rest of them have not been allowed to leave the sixth dimension and move into the seventh where God is. Or the devil would never be allowed to accuse us before the throne of God. But when the resurrection takes place and the elect go up into the marriage supper of the Lamb, the devil is forbidden to walk down streets of gold another day. He will not be allowed another 5 minutes before the throne of God. Why? The kings have arrived. Have arrived. The queen is walking down streets of gold and all of his accusations have been proved lies. So God makes him stay on the earth. At the end of the tribulation period during the millennium, he's held down in the abyss in the bottomless pit. Then he's raised and sent to his prison to be annihilated. Glory. Notice this, being a true narcissist, he must have beings that will worship him. Brother Bram says, in the God of this evil age, Satan not called the God of any other age but this age. It was his ambition to be like God. From the very beginning, it was Satan's ambition to be worshipped like God. He took 2/3 of the stars of heaven, ascended himself above those stars and preached to them. And deceived 2/3 of them. You see it? All right, notice that's his ambition. Now he is ready with his careful, selected, educated bride by his own knowledge. If God wants a bride, then the devil wants one. All painted up in his deceit of big buildings and big denominations and paint of knowledge and theology, smart and intellectual, educated to deceive the whole world and become a god. That's what he's done. All heading up into the person of the Antichrist, which is already crowned the vicar of God. Notice how he's crowned by his worldly loving scientific bride. And how is Jesus going to be crowned? Not by angels. Not by cherubims or seraphims or zooms. He's crowned by his bride. She ain't an educated, scientific, loving, painted up Jezebel. She's a God ordained, predestinated to life, Holy Ghost filled name on the founder of before the foundation of the world, walking by divine revelation under the message of Malachi 4. She's going to stand in the last day, and when she comes to her completion, the entire resurrection will set in motion. Lord. Friend, this message that God sent to us in the last day is so powerful. It won't just get us ready for a rapture. It will call those seven ages behind us out for the resurrection of the dead. When that which is perfect is come, it will be the capstone that will cap off the entire body. As Zechariah said, he will come crying, grace, 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 grace. What kind of grace? Not just saving grace, rapturing grace. Hey, hallelujah! I heard Brother Bram say it the other day, I wish I was twice my size so I could feel twice as good. Oh my. By his worldly loving scientific bride, all dressed up in pomp of intellectual religious education. She's made religious like him, and by his own interpretation, the word as Eve did, and as his son Cain did. So what did he want? Worship. So here is the first worship outside of the one true God. And it began by a being worshiping himself. Let me read this and we'll stop. His works are exalted above God's word. Again, Brother Bam says, in God of this evil age. And manifested works. The wisdom of Satan, which he gave to Eve at the beginning. Now listen, don't miss this. The wisdom of Satan is exalted to the throne of worship in man. The wisdom of Satan is exalted to the throne of worship in man. Don't you understand? We'll look at it in the morning. Don't you understand why people want preachers in the pulpit who don't shame them, who don't rebuke them and tell them of the wrongs? They want more psychologists and guys that stand there in the pulpit and give them more self-help classes. That's what church is becoming. More self-help classes to go along with their self-help books and go along with their self-help CDs and their self. Why is that? Why? Because all that ties into demonic inspiration and satanic worship of the throne of worship being exalted in the human beings. You can make yourself a better person. You can control your temper. And you can do this. Time they get done, you won't even need the new birth. Yeah, right. To hear them talk about it anyhow. Yeah. Why? Because you've got all these self-help classes. You've got a psychologist standing in the pulpit that's not a God-ordained man anyhow. So you can imagine if they ever really get under the influence of a hellfire brimstone preacher, they just go numb. Imagine some of these folks sitting here for about 15 or 20 minutes. My Lord, they'd be comatose in 7 to 8 minutes, no doubt. We'd have ambulance lined up this whole hill down here trying to carry some of them off. So what happened? I visited Happy Valley Church for my first time. Went into an entire coma. Why? Now we laugh at that. But think people that's never heard, never been introduced to a real servant of God preaching the old-fashioned gospel with an old-fashioned baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why? They're used to psychologists who've not even born again themselves. And then they glean all the self-help stuff that they got when they were done. And they sit there and they're entertained by the music. They're entertained by the song leader. They're entertained by everything. Then when they get done with that, they got coffee in the basement. They got donuts from Starbucks. They got all this and other. So church ain't nothing but a bunch of entertainment. And if that ain't enough, we'll have Bozo the Clown come by 6 times a year. And then we'll have ponies and we'll have tailgate parties and we'll have drive-in church. And we'll do anything and everything to get you a crowd. I'm not looking for a crowd. I'm looking for the crowd. I ain't looking to please everybody. I'm looking to please him because I want to get out of this place. And I know all the self-help books in the world can't help me get out of here. What do just a self-help thing? Do we have to help ourselves? We do. But look at our democracy. Oh my, that's tomorrow's sermon. But look at democracy. It within itself goes hand in hand with what Satan is wanting to do in the last day. Make man himself a god. Do you think the people of the world will have such a hard time when the Antichrist is enthroned in the temple of Jerusalem and he'll claim he's God? You really think they'll have a hard time believing that? When they said under the secular preaching that basically you're a god?
Well, y'all have thought for a long time I was nuts. Now you know for sure I ain't. You thought I was going to say I was, didn't you? The wisdom of Satan exalted to the throne of worship. The wisdom of Satan exalted to the throne of worship in man. Above the vindicated word of God for the hour. Our church is proved by the seminaries and schools of learning that's learned more than God's word knows about it, they think. Dr. So-and-so and teacher so-and-so and professor so-and-so has exalted their own knowledge, so-called, from Satan. Truth above the vindicated promise of God made clear right before them. And man fell for it. Think how blessed you are. That you're not feeding on such nonsense. And that Satan's wisdom and knowledge has not exalted himself in the throne of your heart. And from your heart, you worship yourself. And in so doing, you're worshiping the devil. Because you adore and love and magnify yourself above God, the cross, the resurrection, the word, the church. Let's close with this. You see, God gave many, many things by which he would be able to help his people and treat them with self-worship, narcissism, which we're all born with. One of them was, after you become converted, God would put a very great instrument in your life that would help you. That is called your cross. Narcissists hate crosses. In the age we're living, the gospel, so-called, that is preached, includes the cross of Christ, but very seldom ever mentions your cross. So they want to point to the cross of Christ, cross of Christ, Christ done this, Christ done that, Christ done that, Christ done that for me. But I want to beg to differ with you tonight. The Christ who died on the cross actually talked more about your cross than he did his own. He died on his one time, but he knew yours would be a lifetime, daily, weekly, monthly, yearly thing that you would have to pack. So he talks about your cross. Think of it now. He talks about your cross and mentions your cross more than he mentions his own. What does it do? It's hard to worship yourself when you're packing a cross. It's hard to think you're so magnanimous and you're so dazzling and you're so beautiful and so overwhelming when your blood is running down your face, in your eyes, and you're tasting it as it comes down in your mouth. Your head is swollen because of persecution. You ain't got really time to criticize this one, that one, the other, and think how holy you are and how they're so beneath you and so far below you. You're so racked with pain and self-sacrifice. Praise the Lord. So a man who talks only about the cross of Christ and doesn't preach about mine is a false prophet. Well, praise the Lord. You love him with all your hearts. Praise God. Worship. You see, friends, the majority of the world is being led down the gallery of self-worship. The God of this evil age is taking them in the arms. We've been giving the display comparison of the Lord Jesus taking his bride. And the God of this evil age takes him like this and says, do whatever you want. Live any way you want to live. Don't matter. The outside, what difference does that make? Long hair, Why does God care about lipstick and makeup and all that sort of thing? Beer and wine, my goodness. Smoking dope and taking pills. Everybody needs some every now and then. Rock and roll music, what difference does that make? Country music, and listen to them old love songs, and that old adultery, and this and run off of that and his wife, and this and that and other. Oh, come on now. We all need a little bit of entertainment every now and then. So here you go. Now look at that. There's the Lutheran church. Wow. Boy, they're big. I said, I've done that. After that nut Luther come off the scene, that I got in amongst them and I made this denomination, then I made this painting here of what I'd done. Wow. Now what's this one you're called? This one's called Methodism. After John and Charles and them left and the rest of those guys, I got in among them too and I made this great big organized religion. So he's taking his people on down through and showing the God. And what's this? This is the work. This is the completion of my work. This is Miss Laodicea. They're stripped off. They're naked. But he won't tell them they don't know it. Look at them. They go to church. They love God. They pay their tithes. Look at them. They're all going to heaven. They're all so good. They're all so wonderful. And you've done all that. I did. Ain't I wonderful? Why, Lucifer, I didn't know you were so great. Oh, I'm the greatest thing in heaven next to God. My brightness was... I am so spiritual. Let me tell you one thing. I've dealt with a lot of spiritual people down through my years. I'd about rather deal with drunks, whores, liars, and whoremongers than some of these so-called spiritual people. They'll cause you more problems. They're hard-headed. You can't do a thing with them. You can't tell them they're wrong. You can't show them they're wrong. Which is a true sign of a narcissist. A narcissist cannot hardly ever admit they're wrong. And if they do, they will only admit it a little bit and then blame you for picking on them. You're just picky. You're picky. Well, that's in the past. What can I do about the past? True narcissist. Well, we'll be continuing it in the morning if any of y'all would like to come back. You imagine those poor folks who didn't stream the service tonight. They'll be coming in the morning on Sunday morning. The men will be shaving, the women will be rolling their hair, and boy, they'll be coming in here to sitting here in church and scrouging here on Sunday morning, and y'all are just sitting around looking at them, thinking, are y'all in for it? Amen. I'm glad my Holy Ghost loves correction. I'm so glad my Holy Ghost loves correction. Hallelujah. I know some of you adults don't think this is necessary, but maybe it's for some of the kids. Two of our granddaughters stayed with us the other night, 8 years old. Before Carol put them to bed, I was downstairs studying, and she put them to bed, and I was praying. And one of them said, Lord, we know that we can worship ourselves. We know that if one of our sisters say, let's play this game or let's do this or that, then we can say, no, I don't want to do that. And we know we can worship ourselves, Lord. But you don't want us to do that. You want us to say, yeah, I'll be glad to play that game with you. I thought, well, maybe some that's been sitting around Happy Valley for 175 years and they know more about it than I do, of course. Or any other servant of God. Maybe God will give it to some of these boys. Maybe God will give it to some of these kids. And they'll become what they're hearing preached. or some of you will moss back hard-headed that cannot be taught nothing. Go on to hell if that's what you want. If that's what you want, come and get in this casket right here and I'll preach your funeral. I've done been in that casket. I've done died. And I said good riddance to that old husband. Glory. I don't want to walk down that old gallery of the devil. I'd rather march down this one over here in its simplicity and its humility. Oh, you won't hear Jesus say, oh, I am so fantastic. I am so wonderful. Don't just look at me. Don't you just want to touch me? I'm so gooey. I'm just so. Jesus is not stuck on himself. If anybody had the right to be, he could be. He knew it all, yet he did not clock it. He knew everything, but nobody would ever know that he knew everything. He had everything. All power in heaven and earth was given to him. Yet you'd never know it. Character. When Brother Branham saw him out there in the sagebrush field, and the wind was blowing in the sagebrush, and it blew his garments. And he said he was looking so intently. He said he cleared his throat. He never moved. He kind of stepped around a little bit. And he said, I thought I'll call him. And he said, Lord Jesus. And when he called his name, he turned around and he looked at him. He said he had a face that he could speak and the world would come to an end. Yet you would look at him and you'd have sympathy on him because of the looks of his face. So he was no beauty about him that we should desire him. He wasn't like a movie star looking sort of a fellow. Oh, hallelujah. And his bride bears that same reproach today. They look at you, the way you dress and the way you act, and they hear my preaching. Look, friend, it is unbelievable the amount of people around this area here that stream our services. I run into them all the time. They look like I don't know what. And they tell me, I served Brother Dave Swanson, heard the same one not long ago, look like I don't know what. So I enjoyed that song you sung. He said, where'd you hear me sung? So I streamed the service. I seen somebody the other day, Jezebel looking woman. I stream all your services. I'm thinking, what good does it do you? They love the anointing. They love the music. There's a certain element of the truth. But for many of them, it's your hair, Carol. It's your dresses, Barbara. It's the way you look, Linda. It's the way you act. That reproach. That simplicity. Praise God. But for me, I'll take my way with the Lord's despised view. What about it, children? You want pride, arrogance, beauty, dazzling? Are you so caught up in yourself? Are we so caught up? May God help us. I don't mind telling you. I believe the Lord has allowed some of these things to come around our message to kind of shake us somewhat. Because of the type of message we have, it can lead to an element of pride, an element of arrogance, that we can look down our nose and we're so secure and we're so stable and boy, none of these things happen to us. We've been thinking a lot different in the last couple of years though, haven't we? God knows how to get our attention. We don't want that. That's where it began in his heart. God, keep it from me. I said, God, keep it from me. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, you'd take these simple thoughts tonight, embed them so deeply in our hearts, Lord. May we ponder over them. May we search our lives. We know that we will worship something. Money, our car, our church, our pastor, our prophet. Yet as I looked at these again, and I know I've spoke on these scriptures many times down through the years, but As I was looking at it this week, I saw it in a different light than I'd ever seen it before. That all this began from within his being. It was nothing exterior from himself. Which proves to us what he wanted to do in man in the beginning. If somehow he could interject this in man, then every man that was born would be born this way. To have a desire for self-worship. Then the things on the outside would only cater to that desire on the inside. And then this is why you must come of a virgin birth and reverse what Satan did. We were a temple in ruins. And you had to come and loose us. Praise God. You had to cast the devil out of Mount Zion. Glory. So you made him leave my soul. Praise God. And that little seed that was in me, glory to God, a soul of God that was in God before the foundation of the world. That little germ of a seed that was to be you before the foundation of the world. It caught the breath of life. Amen. And it began to live. That old man was buried. Oh, Jesus. Soon, Lord. Soon. You'll return. The resurrection will set in. You'll force our bodies into the final stage of redemption. When our bodies will be changed. Praise God. Until that hour comes, we will bear our cross. We will bear our cross, our humiliation, our shame. We will maintain our integrity, our character, by the work of the Holy Ghost in our souls. Grant it, Lord Jesus. May we never look at our gifts, our church, our ministers, our singing, our music. May we never look at it with human pride. We know there is a godly pride that you have. I read it today where Brother Bam said you looked at Job and you were so proud of him. So there is a godly pride that's acceptable. Help us, Father, that we will learn how to look at achievements in our lives through godly eyes, not through human achievement. Grant it, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just worship him a little tonight, children. And you realize when you raise your hands, you're not raising them towards yourself. But a person can raise their hands and still, in self-worship, worship God because they'll be the one to dictate how it goes. They will dictate how they do it. If we are not called upon to give a self-denying, self-sacrificing love, we will fit in the last day move of the Antichrist, which is self-love and self-worship. Hallelujah. There ought to be something in us that makes us want to love him even when we don't feel it. Want to raise our hands when we feel nothing. Want to lift our voices in praise. Whenever we might be so burdened and so troubled. Want to go to the house of God. Even when we could have somewhere else we could go that might please the flesh. It shows the Antichrist has lost his hold upon your life. If you still worship at your convenience. Go to church at your convenience. Live for God at your convenience. You're under the influence of Laodicea. And you're tribulation bound. Because only eternal life can live the life of sacrifice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Lord God. Forgive us for trying to make ourselves or our church, even our message, the pattern for everybody. Our message ain't sent for everybody, Lord. It's sent for the bride. A foolish virgin can't comply. They can't love it. They can't adore it the way we do. Forgive us. For years, Lord, if they didn't believe Malachi 4, we've damned them to hell. Forgive us. That was our ignorance. There'll be millions of them that'll come up that day that never even heard Malachi 4. That pattern ain't for the foolish virgin. It's for the wise. Hallelujah. Lord, help us that we'll never make our church, our music, our ministry, whatever, the pattern for the world. We'll think our individual lives, well, they're not spiritual because they're not like me. Forgive us, Lord Jesus, for doing such. Help us, I pray, Father. Oh, Jesus, may we lay aside all self-worship, self-adoration. May we adore the only one who is worthy tonight of praise. You, the resurrection and the life. Praise God. Praise God. Can we just love Him together now, saints? Let Him search your heart. Let Him look down the corridors of your soul, as it were, and see if there's any adoration there. Those little doors in your private life. If there's any there that you adore money or your job or your wife or yourself or any other thing in an exalted way above what God allows, He will have no other gods before Him. No other love, no other loves can be equal to His. Harry, sing something. Let's worship together now. Praise the Lord. If you find any idols in your life, my little granddaughter prayed there the other night, and she went on to say, when we find them things there, they're idols. But she said, Lord, may You take them idols out of our lives. If an 8-year-old child can pray that way, what about us adults? What about us adults? Praise God. We worship You, Lord Jesus. Sing her. Just let Him search your heart now. In the stillness and the quietness of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we may shout for it's over. We may run. Who knows? But right now the channel is in that stillness, that quietness, that soul searching. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
The water so my soul.
Hallelujah. Is your entertainment, your sports, your money, your wife, your children, your money, your job? Do you adore it above that which the Lord allows? Your sister, your looks, your children?
You alone are my strength.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
You may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship You. I want You more than gold or silver. Only satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. Spirit is. Oh, You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship Thee. You are my friend, and You are my brother, even though my King. Lord, I love You more than any other, so much more.
Hallelujah.
Than any.
Amen, Lord. Hallelujah.
You alone are my strength, my shield.
Yes,
desire and I long to worship you.
You're my friend.
You're my friend.
And you are
my brother.
My brother.
Even though
Hallelujah.
You are
Hallelujah.
My king.
What a relationship. Your friend, your brother,
I
your king.
I love you
more than
any other, so much more.
So much more,
than
Lord.
You alone are my heart's
my God.
Desire, and I long to worship you.
Brother Wes, just come to Smith. God bless you, saints. Precious Lord.
Father, thank you so much. Lord, we know the truth when we hear it. Lord, we're guilty of it all. We're guilty of it all in one way or another, Lord. If you're guilty in one, you're guilty of all. Father, you've given us the opportunity to lay our hearts and souls before you tonight and hear the truth from the throne of God. So that we'll have the strength to seek mercy from you, to seek guidance from your spirit, to reject the things of this world, Lord. You've given us this precious moment, Lord, where we can make all things right before you. Lord, where you shine the light of your gospel, of your truth, Lord, on us. We can find all discrepancies. We can find all darkness. Lord, we thank you so much. Lord, we do love correction. We love you, Lord. We love your word. We love the way you speak through your servants, Lord. The way you reveal yourself to us. Lord, when we look into your word, we see you looking back. Like when Brother Branham saw you across that field. We look into the eyes of truth, of mercy. We look into the very heart of God. Lord, we're so blessed. Let us not take it for granted, Father. Thank you, Lord, in this dark age and all the lies, Lord. I'm a witness. I've seen the very things that our brother preached of tonight. I've seen the psychologists. I've seen those with the self-help plans, Lord. But you and your infinite mercy, grace, and wisdom, Lord, you have revelated our hearts. You've shown us the truth. And you've given us the ability to accept it. And I am so grateful. I am so grateful. I'm so indebted to you and your mercy, Lord. Our crosses don't grow heavier. They grow lighter in light of your word, Lord. You renew our strength each and every time that you speak to us. Each and every time that we come into your presence, Lord. You strengthen us, Lord. You give us new resolve. You give us such great mercy and forgiveness and understanding, Lord. We are just compelled to worship you with all of our heart. We're compelled, Lord, to fall before you, Lord, with nothing but gratitude. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. There's no words that can describe, Lord, what you've done for us and how grateful we are. We're so proud, Lord, to be able to worship you in this world, Lord, that has turned against you. We're so grateful to have this opportunity. We thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. Lord Jesus, I ask that you keep us safe until we come together again and can bow before you and hear your word and hear your truth. Lord, I ask you, Lord, to restore the strength of my brother and fill him, Lord, with more wisdom, more revelation, Lord, so that we can be drawn closer, even yet more closer to you, Lord, as the days go by. Lord, we're one service, one day closer. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for putting another day behind us that brings us one step closer to you. I love you so much, Lord. It's so wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Be with us until we come together again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed to say that you know Him. Count the cost, take up your cross, and follow Him. Take up your cross. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed to tell the world that you know Him. Count the cost, take up the cross. Take up your cross, follow Jesus. Take up your cross.